sing together to magnify His name and worship Him. That's what it's all about. It's not that we can do anything. We're so fortunate and blessed to be able to open up His Word this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, dealing with the subject. Actually, we're dealing with two subjects this morning. God wants us to deal with two subjects this morning. And I think we can handle that. We sure do need what God has for us. And one of them is to love Him more. And we see once we love Him more, other things start taking place. Because when you love Him more, certain things disappear. It's like taking a glass of water and filling it up. A lot of air in there, but when you pour water in, the air escapes. So this morning, if we can love Him more, and we know how to do that because 1 John tells us to. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Well, we need that, don't we? He's perfect, and we need to have his love in us made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Case in point, let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 56. There was a word that we read that many of us have, a portion of it that he tells us we need to get rid of, and that's fear. Now, he told us how to get rid of it. The only way to get rid of fear in your life, of the unknowns, of those things that trouble you, of those things that torment you, of the uncertainties in life, whether it be sickness, whether it be tragedy, or just unknown future. Only one way to deal with it, and he tells us how to do it. David dealt with it too, just a man like we are. Now, we're to have the mind of Christ, but David, like us, we're in the flesh, and we need some lessons, so God always teaches us lessons. Perfect love casts out fear. If we can learn to love the Lord God, and he wants us to, with all our heart, with all our soul, and put him first, and absolutely let that love consume us, there is no more room within us for fear. It's gone. So let's look what David went through, and God allows you to go through trials and me to go through trials, and he is teaching us in these trials. Every one of us have different trials, but there's fear, fear of the unknown. So let's look at Psalms chapter 56 and see how David dealt with it. It'll help you, it'll help me, because David is the man after God's own heart. And David was going through trials. The enemy had him now. And there's, when the enemy gets you and it seems like there's no hope, all the walls start closing in. But he started realizing, I don't have to sit here and have a pity party. I have a Heavenly Father that can take care of the need. Now, he had to deal with bringing himself to the fact to accepting that and to know what he already knew, because he needed to have more of the love of God in his heart. And once he got it, fear was going to be gone. Let's see how he deals with it. It'll help you and it'll help me to deal with it also. Psalms 56. Let's read that last verse first. Verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He summed up this thought for us, and he realized that God had already delivered his soul. But he also realized that, yeah, my soul's saved, and I'm going to heaven when I die, but my feet slip. And if you'll help me, my feet slip when I see things that worry me, that scare me. So, Lord, just keep my feet from falling as you've already secured my salvation. He can do that for us. Let's read the first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. He realized that since he is having fear, why wouldn't he have fear? It would only be natural. He was in the camp of the enemies. They had encamped all around him, and he couldn't escape. And so the only thing he could do was love the Lord Jesus Christ and plead for mercy. So he pleaded for mercy. No matter what you're going through, no matter what tragedy, what disappointment, what fear consumes us, there's always mercy from the throne of God. And he is pleading for mercy. He is reciting to God what God already knows. God knows why he's in the position he's in. And don't even go there to say, well, why did God permit it? There's things in your life and mine that you do not understand. It's okay to ask him if you want to. Jesus said, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? It's perfectly okay to ask him. But you can get to the place that you can trust him and know that he has put you. And finally, Jesus, remember, he was in the body. He was full man and full God. And yet he dreaded the fact, the only fact, he came to die. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he had to become sin. Your sin, my sin. And he had never known that before. He had never experienced sin. And he realized that once he took your sins and my sins upon himself, that his father would have to turn his back from him until that blood was applied. So Christ Jesus realized that, and he said, my God, he asked a question. And you could ask God, why am I going through this? But a better question would be, God, you know what you're doing. And finally, Jesus says, thy will be done. Not according to what I want, but according to thy will. David is going to get to that place. It's going to take a little struggle. He is telling God and he is pleading for mercy, and that's good. But notice after the plea for mercy in these two verses that we just read, he starts telling about himself, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He is starting to have a persuasion of his heart. Sometimes you have to tell your heart what to believe. You know it in your head, but the heart don't always get it. Before I got saved, I always knew from the time I knew anything that Jesus was the Son of God. My mother, my father, and my grandparents, and the preacher all said that, and the Word of God said it, and even as a child, a little child, I never doubted in my head that Jesus was the Son of God, but that was a long way from my heart. And it took the Holy Ghost conviction and showed me that I was a lost sinner. And once I accepted that fact that he alone could forgive my sins, and he put it in my heart. Now, David knows in his head that God's on the throne. He belongs to him. He's telling God and pleading to God for mercy. And now he's got to convince himself, persuade his own heart. Look how he does it in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I'll trust in you. Fear will come, but that fear can be overcome by trust in him and him alone. If I can get to that place. So David's working on it now. He's having that persuasion of his heart. He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? I do sometimes out loud. Nobody's around. But often I talk to myself, you know, why do you think that? Why don't you do this? And the Lord knows your thoughts. He hears your silent prayers just as well as he does those prayers that you speak audibly. He knows your heart. And then he is making a proclamation in verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He's still talking to himself. He's not directly talking to God, but he is just saying to himself, persuasion of his heart, I will trust in God. I'll give him everything. And when I learn to trust him with all my heart, the fear will be gone. Then I won't worry what man can do unto me. I won't worry about what flesh can do unto me. Not if I can ever get to the place to realize that he saved my soul, and he can keep my feet from falling. I'll just trust him. And that's enough. So now he is persuading his heart. And look at verse 4. He is starting to praise God of the word. That's the way you overcome fear. Start giving him praise for all he's already done. How many of us are behind in the fact that we haven't given him enough thankfulness and praise for what he's already done? Oh, we can talk volumes and write volumes about what we want him to do, but what about just thanking him for what he's already done? That's the way David persuades his heart. Look at verse 4 again. In God I will praise his word. We have his word. He holds his word above his name. And Jesus is the word. Remember what John says? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. So when you start thinking about the things of God like that and know who he is and start pleading for mercy, he wants to give it to you. But he wants you to have a humble heart, a thankful heart, an open heart. And the way to get it is start to praise his name through his word. Start thinking about the things God's already done for us and how you ought to praise his name. And look at that fifth verse. Every day they risk my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. He's still having that problem as sometimes we do. He's persuaded his heart that God's in control. And then, and God's going to take care of my flesh. But now look at verse 5 again. He looks and he's still thinking that fear is not gone yet. Every day they risk my words. The words, I say the word whisk means they scatter them. I say a word to intend to imply this, and they twist it. They turn it. They try to use it against me. And now he's going back to what the enemy does. He's already said, as often we do, it's all okay now. In my heart, I believe, I trust God. But when you start thinking about the individual things they've done for you, the flesh is weak. And it starts coming back to us a little bit, but he's not there yet. He still has the God of the Word. He's going to get to the place where he can trust him completely. Now he is reiterating the fact that every day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. He's already said, I will not fear what flesh can do. And now he's afraid of their words. Are you like that sometimes? I've learned, and I'm still learning a long time ago, and the older I get, the less I worry about it. You know, people will run you down. They will turn against you. And we can get to the place, I haven't gotten there yet, but I know I can get to the place with the help of the Lord, that it really doesn't matter what flesh and what anybody says. If you can get to the, and David's got to get to this place, and you and I've got to get to this place, because you can never expect the world to treat you right. Unfortunately, you can't always expect saved people to treat you right. And David is in the midst of his enemies. And he said, every word I say, they twist it, they turn it. They're always trying to tear me down. And I fear. Help my fear. I put my trust in you. I won't care what the flesh does unto me. But he's got a ways to go yet because he's still talking to himself. He's still trying to persuade his heart what his head believes, what his head knows. But he's going to get there. Verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. He's keep thinking about what the enemy has done, is doing, and he is so worried at what they will do. David has fear. And you and I have the same problem. I mean, there's none of us perfect. And of course you worry about your children and your grandchildren, don't you, Brother Randy? Even when they're little bitty babies, and I got to hold that little one, how precious. And God gives us these little ones, and we thank him for it, but yet when you hold a little one, the thought comes to your head, boy, this is a wicked world. And when they go out in schools and public schools, what will they teach them and what will others do to them? And we have to get to the place that we can trust God. And we can, because if we can, 1 John says that perfect love casts out fear. He implies and tells us, John does, that we can get so full of love of God that fear cannot enter into our mind. David's not there yet. And oft time and many times we aren't there yet, but David's going to get there because he knows that God can get him there. Belief in him. Look at that verse one more time. They gather themselves together, verse 6. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? And thine anger cast down the people, O God. And now David's even tell God what he wants him to do. And that's okay. You can tell God what you want him to do. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, make a request known. But the same God, same time God is taking him through this valley, he's given him all of his experiences, not only for himself, but for you and for me. We can read this and see how David dealt with it, a man after God's own heart, and we can glean from it and we can learn from what David went through. And did you ever think that maybe God lets you and I go through some trials we go through, and we're mature, hopefully, some of us are reaching some maturity in Christ Jesus, hopefully we are, and others are watching us to see how we can handle it. And if you and I can handle it and trust God during the middle of it, then it will give them encouragement. And they'll say, well, if he or she can do it, by God's grace, I can do it. And David's going through this to teach him a lesson, and it's teaching you and I a lesson. Everything you go through in life and what God permits and what God orchestrates and what God purposes for your life, Romans said it's for our good. So question, if you will, tell God what to do about it, if you will. But the real problem David's got right now is not telling God how to deal with the enemies. He hasn't quite gotten to the fact that he can trust the Lord with all his heart yet. His head knows it. He's persuading his heart. But now he's telling God, take care of my enemies, get them out of the way. Then I won't have to deal with my emotions and my fears. And God could do that if he wants to, but that'll be his choice. And if he does it change the fact that even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of all these things that could go wrong and is going wrong, and if God never fixes any of it toward the end of us, he can get you and I to the place where we can love him and the fear can't enter in there. You say, I can't get there. Would John have written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words that perfect love cast out fear, unless he had implied until we could get to there, that place? We're not up on a pedestal and we're not holier than thou, but God expects us to be able to transfer what we know in our head to our heart, because we are in the enemy's camp in this world, you know. And religion, they don't like us. I'm talking about organized religion that doesn't proclaim that only one way to heaven, and that's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. All religion doesn't believe that. So you and I do. So God is training us and teaching us, and he is pleading for mercy, and he is persuading his heart. But now I want to get down to where I really want to get to. This gets good. Verse 8 says, "Thou telleth my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, or are they not in thy book?" God, you know everything. You know my wandering, how I've strayed. Now he's starting to make some confessions before God. That's always good, because now God is showing him his heart and showing David that you're not always what you ought to be. You haven't always said, you haven't always done. You want me to help you, but now look at yourself. You know my wandering, and you know through some of those wanderings and some of those bad experiences, I cried tears. But thank God you kept those tears in a bottle. And every tear I've ever shed over sin and over neglect and repented unto you, you have seen every one. Look at the text. thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? God remembers those tears you shed while you were praying over our wanderings, your wanderings, my wanderings, over neglect of our nation, over the souls that aren't saved, and those loved ones that you have that's going to hell if you and I don't get concerned about them, if they don't repent. The tears, God keeps them in the bottle, and he's going to help us. Every one of us put our trust in him if you will only believe. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Do you see how David has gone, a plea for mercy? Well, the real problem, David said, is me persuading my heart. So he goes through that persuasion of his heart. And he says, God, I know what I'll do. Even in the midst of it all, I'll still trust you. Don't matter what the flesh does. Then he gets back into it and even tells God what to do with the enemies. And now he's getting there. Look what he says. After he confessed his faults and confessed his wanderings and remembered the tears he shed and the forgiveness God gave him, then he says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. When I put my whole life into your hands, it's not telling you to get rid of the enemies. It's just telling you that I trust you. And when I give my life to you, this I know, you will take care of the situation. I won't be telling you what you need to do, God. You already know. You know my heart. And you have seen my wanderings. When I cry unto thee, when are you going to do it for me, God? When you humble yourself and you confess your sins and you acknowledge that he is righteous, he knows every thought, every impurity, everything about you, and you know that you know in your head, but you want to get it to your heart. Only he can get it there, but he's willing for him to get it there. And he finally says, I know when you're going to solve my problems, when I cry unto you and trust you with all my heart. And this gets him in line for the plight, how the enemy's going to turn back. Look at verse 10. In God will I praise his word. He's already said that. Look up at verse 4. In God I will praise his word. The word he uses for God is Jehovah or Elohim. Remember Elohim at the word of God in the beginning in Genesis. In the beginning, God. And God has many names. I preached on that before. Hopefully, I'll get to preach on that pretty soon again. The names of God. And in the Hebrew, he uses God Elohim. Elohim means the one that can do it without a means to do it. He spoke the world into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Why? He's God. He can create. He can change your situation just by a word. The words from his mouth. So he says, in God, in Elohim. And he had already said that in verse 4. But he realized that he knew that in his head, he had to get in his heart. His wanderings had to be repented of. Look at the rest of this verse. In God will I praise his word, colon, and the Lord will I praise his name. The Lord he's using a different name. Remember, he's not talking in English, this is in Hebrew. And the Lord means Jehovah. And it was Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, the first time God uses the word Jehovah. The word Jehovah. And what he was doing is recounting what he had already done. Elohim, he was using Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, in the beginning God. And that's what he says, I'll trust God of the word, the one that creates, the one that's able to perform without a means. And then he uses the Lord, Jehovah. First time he used that, Genesis 2, 4. And that means recapping. It means a settlement, what God's already done. Reflect on it, think about it, and understand what God's already done. And it means the existing one, the one that has created and will always remain the same. You and I change. Our thought patterns change. The way we live and perform changes, but God never changes. And Jehovah means the eternal existing one. So now he is using both those terms. He is saying, in God, in Elohim, will I praise his word, the one that can form, the one that can do by speaking it. And then he says, in the Lord will I praise his word, Jehovah. I'm putting all my trust. Same God, don't get confused, but he has different things, remember. God is a God of love. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of creation. He's a God that's coming back. He's a God that loves you. And all these things are implied in the Word of God in different ways. So now he has understood that test. In verse 11, in God, back to the word Elohim, have I put my trust in the one that created all, the one that can speak the word, the one that knows my thoughts, the one that can see it. Can you imagine the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Before he created it, he saw it in his mind what it would be, what it ought to be. And now he's referring back to that God knows all my problems. He's got my life all arranged. He had it arranged before I got here. And all I would have to do is trust him. And he can speak the word, and it be done. I won't tell him any more about what to do with the enemies. What I need to do is get my life right, David was saying, and he'll take care of the enemies. And if I can get myself right and start believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth that I've wandered, and I stray, and I don't always perform, and I don't always do, and I don't always trust, but God can help my unbelief. And now he's trusting him. In God have I put my trust. Therefore, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. A few verses before, he is deathly afraid of that. Tried not to be. He said, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll trust your word. And then the very next verse, he says, but you know what they say about me? And they take the words I say and twist them around. But then he realizes that Jehovah God can take care of everything because he's already proved himself. Elohim, the one that can just speak, and God's waiting on you and me to get our hearts right. It's not that he can't take care of all the problems. He just wants us to understand who he is and live by and trust him. And because fear is something in their life, fear of the unknown, and it's really not trusting God. That's David's problem here. In his head, he knows he can trust God, but it's not got to his heart yet. And God can transfer that from your head to your heart. And the only way he can do that is for you to come clean with him and say, God, I'll put my trust in you. I'll look to what you've already done. And remember Genesis 2:4, he is recapping and telling us what he's already done. And when God tells us that, reminds you and I, he's already saved your soul. He's already gone back to heaven. He's soon coming back. Start thinking on these things. Would he keep us stranded? Can he keep our feet from falling? Of course we're saved and secure. If you're saved, you're eternally saved. But we're still on this slippery slope called earth. And what people say bothers us. And the unknown worries us and we have fear. God is teaching us through David's word and his own words. Look at verse 12. We're closing. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. My job is just to believe your word. I've tried to talk myself into it and the flesh gets in my way. And my fears are going to be cast out because you're filling me with your love. And that's the only way it's going to work for you. If you have and I don't know why, I don't need to know. God had me preach this message this morning. I don't even question God about that. But he knows your hearts and he knows my heart. And he knows sometimes I worry. And I catch myself worrying and I go through the same process David did. And when you catch yourself worrying, you're really not trusting God. You're telling him, Elohim, the one that can form it all, I know you're God, but I just don't know if you can handle my little old situation. But then when he started, the Lord And he looked at what he'd already done, what Jehovah had already done. That helps you understand that he can take care of the next need. If he's got your soul perfected in heaven already, he sees your soul in heaven, he won't have any trouble taking care of your feet and your body. If you can learn to trust him, would you stand? As you're standing, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Done deal. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling? Why? For one reason, that I can walk before God. You see, we don't want to fall because it might embarrass us. It might cause us to lose a lot of things. But if we want him to keep our feet from falling for one reason, that we can glorify God and bring him honor and glory, then God's going to do it. David had to get to that place. He wasn't there earlier. But now he's saying, God, keep my feet from falling for one reason, that I can walk before you in the land of the living. Your heads are bowed. Would you please come, Misty, and sing a song of piano, whatever God puts on your heart. Altar is open. And the question is this. The title of the message is dealing with fear. Fear is a torment. And I don't know what you're fearing. We all have it. But God has told us how we can deal with it. You say it will come back tomorrow. It did for David. But that's okay. He knew how to deal with it. And he said, Lord, you can keep me from sliding and falling if it's for the right reason that I'll walk before you in the land of the living and give you praise, honor, and glory. Whatever your need this morning, the altar is open as they sing.